Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To go ahead and talk about the Deshaun.
Literally, depending on the operation.
Yeah, that's true. I'm going to watch a few of those on YouTube later. Now, we welcome in, as we do every Monday, 6 p.m., Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hello, Daryl.
Hello, boys.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good.
You carve any pumpkins this weekend, Daryl?
No, I leave that to the company men.
That's a good little turnabout there. All right.
JP? I'll take it. No, I'll take it. No, it's fine. It's fine. I don't
you
even...
Big kiss, you know what?
Oh, yeah. Big bootlicker over here. That's what they always say about me.
Shameless.
Well, hey, whatever gets the job done, man. At one point, you have to turn around and realize, you know what? It's okay to play the game, Daryl. It's okay. And if that means carving up some pumpkins and then dropping them on Nick Wilson's doorstep, that's okay, too.
Yeah, if I'm dropping something on Nick Wilson's doorstep, it ain't a carbon pumpkin.
It's probably going to be burning, too, while we're at it.
He threw you off for a second.
No, that's really good.
You had the imagery of him dropping off something that was burning on your doorstep.
Can you see any scenario in which Deshaun Watson is on the active roster again for the Cleveland Browns?
Sure. They owe him a lot of money. Now, do I see a scenario where it's smart for Deshaun Watson to be on the active roster for the Cleveland Browns ever again? Nope, probably not. I mean, if the Haslams were paying attention yesterday, I think it was made known how the fans feel about Deshaun Watson. So, but when you owe that kind of money and you have that type of a salary cap hit over the next 2 years, yeah, I can definitely see it.
Nick maintained that yesterday went so badly for Deshaun, not only from a personal level, but more the idea that he really saw how much the fan base disliked him, that he would potentially take a pay cut of sorts to get to a different team. Do you buy into any of that logic?
You're assuming another team actually would want him.
Yeah, we were in the same spot, Daryl. I was like, who's taking him on to be a backup quarterback? Like, that's not going to happen at all. I think his NFL career ended yesterday on that field.
I just think the guy's radioactive. Why would you want to bring that into your locker room? So, I don't know if it ended his career. I don't know if it ended his Browns career yesterday. But the fans certainly made their feelings known. Browns players made their feelings known about how the fans felt. And I don't think the players really grasp the gravity of the situation that Browns fans have been asked to swallow for the better part of three decades with this franchise. And when you're going out there and laying eggs each and every week, when you were supposed to be a Super Bowl contender this year, and the guy that got hurt isn't playing well, and he's a big part of the problem of why you guys aren't winning football games, and he was given a record-breaking contract while fans were asked to look the other way at the unsavory things that he was taken to court over and settled 24 cases over, the most recent basically accused him of rape. I am just befuddled. I wish they had the same passion for the alleged victims that they did for the... Now, I'm not excusing the response for the fans. It was classless, but I get it. I understand it.
Daryl, when it comes to that response, do you think the rest of this season is fans versus players?
I think it could very well turn into it. I do. I mean, I've seen plenty of ugly seasons, and I know you have too, Nick, and I know you have Jonathan, but I think it went overboard yesterday a little bit. All that had to be said is, didn't appreciate the fans booing the guy when he was down. And that's the way it should be. It should have been left. But for Myles Garrett to come out and pontificate about how Deshaun has been like this model citizen throughout his life and career is about as tone deaf as it gets. You know, so I just, you know, I get it. You don't cheer, you don't celebrate an injury. That's out of bounds. But booing him during player introductions, oh, absolutely, go for it. That's totally fair. The guy hadn't played well. But I just feel like it was a coordinate. They found something to distract everybody from the fact that they couldn't beat an awful Cincinnati Bengals team and the fact that they can't score 20 points in a game yet and the fact that they're 1-6 and their season is basically over. Like, I kind of feel like that they seized that moment to dangle out there how awful a small segment of Browns fans that were in that stadium that behaved in a certain way just to distract from the fact they suck at football right now.
Darryl, if it was you, would you go to DTR or would you go, if healthy and available, or would you go to Jameis Winston?
I would go to DTR, if assuming he's healthy and available, which I don't believe he's going to be healthy and available this week, so it will be Jameis. But big picture view, I would absolutely go to DTR before Jameis.
Is that because you're trying to get a better draft pick, or is that because you genuinely believe?
Get a true – well, winning games right now is pointless. You're 1-6. You're done. You're cooked, okay? There's no salvaging this train wreck. So what you need to do organizationally is to go into evaluation mode, okay? And so now you need to get a true evaluation of DTR as a quarterback, and to do that is to play him and play him for an extended period of time so you can see, okay – what was the true growth? And I'm not talking preseason evaluation or training camp evaluation or practice evaluation. I'm talking practical game experience against good football teams that you're going to play down the stretch. What really was the growth from his rookie year to his sophomore year? Is there something there with DTR? Is he a potential franchise quarterback in the making with some additional development? Or is he just a guy to keep the seat warm and help us get a better draft pick in April? Whereas with Jameis, he's a known quantity. You already know what he is and who he is, right? I don't think we have those answers with DTR. And unfortunately, as we sit here going into the eighth week of the season, this is about finding answers for the future and not winning football games.
Darryl, you're talking about evaluation mode here. I think a lot of fans are in evaluation mode with Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry. What can we evaluate those guys on in the final 10 games of the season?
Well, I think what's hurting Stefanski is there is zero marked improvement with this team week to week now, right? The same problems we saw yesterday with the lack of physical and mental discipline are the same problems that were there in week one, okay? That's a big strike against Kevin Stefanski. The fact that this offense is inept as it is a strike against Kevin Stefanski, unfortunately. When it comes to Andrew Berry, hey, he's the one that bought some of the groceries and, cooked the meal. So there has to be some accountability there. Now, I think evaluating his drafts becomes challenging because when you're talking about all these picks from rounds 3 to 7, those are throwing stuff against the wall and you hope something stick. He's only had one first-round draft pick, and you basically got 5 years out of a guy who you should not be extending a contract to either now or in the spring. But you at least got 5 years of service out of him, out of the player. JOK, nice second-round pick there. But outside of that, it's not been all that great. Okay, MJ Emerson, really good last year. He's not been so good this year. So, and he had the interest in Deshaun Watson during the offseason there in 2022. And, he's the one that got the ball rolling on that whole process. And we know what an unmitigated disaster this whole trade has turned out to be. So, they're right now, prisoner of the moment, things don't look good for either one of those guys. Take a step back for a minute, take a deep breath. Okay. Two of the first 4 years were playoff seasons, two-time coach of the year. Last year, you could argue that Barry should have been a candidate for executive of the year. But just right now, the whole thing is just falling apart. And usually when things fall apart like this, somebody pays the price.
Daryl, with that being said, do you think of the three ways this could go? One guy gets fired, the other guy gets fired, or both guys get fired. What do you think is most likely to play out if, let's say, they continue on a clip to be in conversation for a top three pick?
Well, if they end up with a top three pick, I think there's an argument to hit the reset button. They were here for 5 years, and you're back to square one, right? Actually, you're further behind than when they got here. Because when they got here, there was a foundation in place that they just had to build on top of and basically take it to the finish line here. Whereas if you have a top three draft pick, that means you have won between one and three games, and you're all the way back to 2016-17 type of a situation. And so if you're going all the way back there, I would think a complete house cleaning would be in order.
Daryl, I want to talk about the wide receivers, but I'm having trouble. Which one do you think was more important? Jerry Jeudy throwing his helmet late in the fourth quarter, or Elijah Moore being, disciplinary reasons for why he didn't play the first two drives and then us never really finding out why that was?
I would say disciplinary reasons, because forced Kevin Stefanski to do something, right? He did something that caused Stefanski to basically bench one of his players. The Jeudy throwing the helmet, of course, bad look, frustration. Look, I'd be frustrated too at this point, right? I'll be honest with you, I'd be a little worried if nobody was throwing a helmet with the way this thing's going. So for me, the discipline issue trumps the show of frustration on the sidelines.
Daryl, appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you on Wednesday.
You bet, guys.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So yes, because
yes.
The best way to enjoy this letter is if you actually hear it in McConaughey.
You just wanted to do the McConaughey. But I know you want to do the McConaughey.
Well, I'm a little disappointed in myself that at some point I haven't come up with McConaughey, because it's like a walk-in. If you practice a McConaughey, you should be able to crack the code on a McConaughey. Very, very, and the same thing with Christopher Walken. The same thing with like Pacino. So like if you or Clinton, like there's certain people with certain rhythms. Oh, that one's so easy. You just talk really gruffly and do that.
Yeah,
it was a good one.
You looked like you were gonna attack me when you did it, but you had it.
That's kind of Arnold in movies.
You're like a solid, 6 feet away from me, but yeah. it looked like both of us sitting down, you were going to get to me.
I saw the fear in your eyes just a little bit, even though you knew that we're good. So if you guys haven't, so Texas and Georgia, I know if you saw the game this weekend.
They had their own bottle gate.
Didn't go well for Texas, yeah. And the Texas student section threw bottles onto the field. And so McConaughey, who is like, he didn't go to to Texas. He didn't.
He didn't?
No.
I know he's a Texas super fan. I had no idea he didn't actually go to the school.
No, I'm 99% sure he didn't. But he's now become...
You'd be like a person in Ohio starting an Ohio State podcast while not going to Ohio State?
Okay, that's personal. What? It's Sons of the Shoe.
Is that
listen
what that
to
is?
It each week. But
I didn't know what we were doing here.
According to his Wikipedia, he did go to Texas.
Yeah, okay. I thought he went to Texas.
Okay. Did he just live in Austin and smoke a lot of weed? Because that's not going to Texas.
Was it an honorary doctorate or something?
No, he got his bachelor's there.
That's okay. What I thought. What are you making up, McConaughey?
This is Obama's birth certificate. I want to see. I'm a truther here. I want to see him actually, video of him matriculating as a Longhorn student for me to buy this.
22-year-old McConaughey getting his degree. All right.
I'll try to dig up the diploma there.
All right, yeah, the diploma. Yeah, we can't fake those. So anyways,
you can just buy one of those on Marketplace, like I see all the time, by the way.
Anyways, McConaughey wrote this open letter to the Texas students, and I gotta be honest with you,
you're gonna do the McConaughey.
I'm not gonna do the McConaughey.
No, it's not your thing. You're very good at Schwarzenegger.
No,
as we clearly established,
we are in 100% agreement, but it's written in full McConaughey. And I'm just so obsessed with how this dude, and I get it, if I look like that and I had that kind of talent and that kind of career, I also wouldn't do things like doubt myself at all. But I'm so obsessed with this idea of McConaughey has become some sort of philosopher in his olden age, and he's become this guy, and maybe he's always been that guy, but he's just so self-assured at everything. And so I'm just going to read it. No McConaughey, because I can't do it.
Okay.
Longhorn Nation, and specifically our DKR student section, MOC McConaughey coming at you here.
It's so less funny. You're just reading it as a normal person. I know your McConaughey's not great, but for the bit, I feel like you need to give us your best McConaughey.
No, I can't. I really can't.
Now you're shy?
No.
First time I've ever met you in my life to be shy.
It's modesty. I'm trying it out.
Okay.
First off,
you don't wear it well, by the way. I like when you just go for it.
I don't wear anything well. I look like a traffic barrel, which somebody pointed out on TikTok. Thank you for that, by the way. Saying, first off, you were electric Saturday night when we hosted Georgia. Bravo. Let's continue to bring it. Even though our horns didn't get the dub, you created a measurable home field advantage. But let's get real about the bottle bombing the field glitch we had.
Glitch. That little hiccup we had with the you guys throwing bottles everywhere.
Not cool. Bogey move. What an understatement of the year.
I'm stealing that.
They threw bottles at referees.
Bogey move.
And he's got bogey move. All right. Yeah, that call was BS. But we're better than that. Longhorn Nation knows how to show up, show out like no other, and still keep our class. So going forward, let's clean that kind of BS up and leave that behind us for good. We have to shake hands on that. Next up, November 9th, when the Gators come to town, let's make sure they feel the heat. Can't hear the play calls and burn their timeouts. But remember, nothing hits our field except that Texas fight. Till then, root hard and hook 'em, McConaughey.
I kind of thought it'd be more vague. If we're being honest, like McConaughey's deal is being like vague and I kind of having more of a, I don't know, like a poetic wisdom to it all.
I think that's what he was going for. I'll just be honest, man.
Sounded like an SB Nation blog.
Not cool. Bogey move. Bogey move.
Bogey move is kind of funny to say, though. That's the funniest thing that he said right there. Bogey move.
I life is so hard. Because of things like self-doubt, and if you're critical of yourself, which I almost am to a ridiculous degree.
It'd be better if you weren't, because we would have got a sweet McConaughey impression
I know. If I just was blindly confident in the way McConaughey is at everything, doesn't life just sound so much better? If you just walk through life thinking that you bleep gold ingots, no matter whether it's acting or sharing sage wisdom, all the while
I just want to make it clear. Is the case you're making that being Matthew McConaughey is better than being Jonathan Peterlin? Is that the case you're trying to make right now?
I'm not sure how to break it to you.
Because that seems like a pretty easy layup for everyone listening to agree with.
Yeah, but not for the reasons that you think.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, I'd like to be that good looking and that successful and all that.
Talk about McConaughey for once out of this segment, please.
Stop talking
about me.
But no, it's the confidence. It's the unwavering confidence that everything you say is the smartest thing that anyone's ever heard or relatable, that God, I'm just so jealous of. I just wish I had less self-awareness and I had just this indisputable feeling that I knew everything and everything was going to be all right, all right, all right. I just wish it, man.
The best part about the weekend within the Bottlegate, Nick, was the idea that the refs did like change the call and get it right. Like they had this big angry throwing bottles on the field and getting all upset, and then the refs like got in a huddle and they turned around and was like, yeah, we did mess that one up, and they fixed the call. Like all these, they revoked students' season tickets today. They like identified in the stands which kids were actually throwing bottles. They revoked their season tickets, and it all happened over a play that ended up being judged in favor of Texas.
Bogey move.
Bogey move, man. Bogey
move.
We gotta
throw that into the hopper there for things that we used to.
Definitely.
Not cool. Bogey move.
It's a bogey move right there.
Speaking of bogey moves, Jed Wills yesterday continuing the turnstile.
We're calling that a move even?
Well, which part? Was it the letting Trey Hendrickson in unguarded to just completely knock the living crap out of the quarterback? Or was it Jed throwing out his arms in disgust like, he can do that?
Yeah, he looked like me getting cut off in traffic and being like, what's going on here? I just throw my hands up as if it's going to fix anything. It's not fixing anything.
So the reason why I'm bringing this up is we just, with Daryl and obviously in the middle part of the show, you and I got into the conversation about Stefanski and Andrew Berry. And I think that everybody's put this on, well, if Kevin can just go back to his pretty little offense and if he can just go ahead and draw it back into. But it's stuff like Kevin Stefanski saying everything while saying nothing, like today when he was asked point blank about the Jed Wills situation, that I think is the biggest danger to Kevin Stefanski.
Jedrick Wills seemed to miss an assignment on that Dorian Thompson-Robinson sack, and he threw his hands up in the air. It looked like he was expecting someone off the edge and kind of let Trey Hendrickson come right through the line and get to DTR. Have you looked back on that play? And if you did, like, what exactly did you see on that play?
Yeah, I have. As you can imagine, we make corrections in the building with our players and that type of thing. Obviously, that's not what we want to do on that play. We need to be better.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
It's your favorite line.
Jed has been doing that all season long. And I think whether it was the having to bench Elijah Moore for one quarter, which, wow, sink your teeth into him, Kev.
And by the way, think about that for a second. The idea that there was as far as I know, maybe there was and I just missed it, but I didn't hear a follow-up today as to like why the reasoning was. I know they asked it yesterday, but like, shouldn't we find out why the disciplinary reason was? And I'm sure the media that were there just kind of realized Kevin's not going to ever tell him, so there's no point of asking. But on a scale of things that we should be talking all day about, Jed Wills is 100% on there.
Yep.
The Elijah Moore thing's 100% on there.
Yep.
The Jerry Jeudy not getting a target until the fourth quarter and then throwing his helmet with 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Like, that should all be leading this show, and we haven't even gotten to it. And like in any given week, Nick, any one of those three things would be 3 of the 5 hours discussed by us.
Am I okay if I say right now, I'm cool with Jerry Jeudy getting emotional about not getting opportunities in that game?
Why was he not getting opportunities, though? And I think maybe we'll dive into that a little bit later on, but like, why are you trading Amari Cooper to give other people opportunities and to elevate Jerry Jeudy in many respects to then not elevate Jerry Jeudy?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I just, it's so funny. Like, I wasn't even concerned about that because I immediately saw that guy wants to win and he's just expressing that on the field. That's different than you benched Elijah Moore for a quarter, which is embarrassing. Like,
We have no idea why. Well, what did he do? Was it something practice related? Was it something that is off-field related?
Was it his dad's tweets?
I mean,
would have been 2 weeks ago, I guess.
That, well, we didn't put OBJ's dad, and we didn't put OBJ in trouble for it, so I guess it's fair game.
But I'll be honest with you. If Kevin gets fired at the end of the season, we have so much distance from now to the end of the season, it's not going to be about Deshaun Watson if he gets fired. It's going to be because he lost the locker room.
It'll be the circus that is everything else.
And I don't know how you let Jed play this week. I don't know how you let a...
You're still out of bodies, aren't you?
Yeah, but at some point. Oh, well.
I mean, because now we got another Conklin situation on our hands here. Like, I mean, we're running out of bodies once again.
Well, Ken, but the whole point is, if you're not playing through the whistle or doing anything close to your job and you're making $15 million, how are you keeping that locker room?
I'm with you. I mean, it's a bad look.
It made sense. Like, okay, there's nothing you do about a Sean's a $50 million quarterback. What's stopping you from benching Jed Wills after that circus?
Well, the problem with the Jed Wills play was that it wasn't just that he got basically burnt and beat as if he was just standing still. It was the throwing his hands up in the air and then acting as if, well, that's the best I could do.
Toast Wills?
No. Newsom was great. That one 100% stays. We can't make everyone toast.
Well, I think they are. I think we can call out who's toast and loafing it.
There's one Lemon Law Lane. It's not now Lemon Law Josh Naylor, okay? Doesn't work that way.
Give me time. I'll make it work.
The alliteration was too good.
But I really do think, like, everybody has, and this goes back to the idea, yesterday proved this wasn't just Deshaun. Yes, Deshaun was bad. Not good enough. Yes, there's a myriad of things that, when you untangle that, the on the field, the off the field, did he ever get him, you know, did he ever ingratiate himself to Browns fans, which could have maybe saved some of the vitriol, all this kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, if Kevin's allowing or has allowed being hamstrung at the quarterback position to lose the other 52 guys, then there's no quarterback that can save his job.
Well, and Nick, we haven't even discussed the idea that they still had all these illegal shifts and all these penalties that just continue to pop up over and over and over again. What is he exactly coaching?
Non-answers in press conferences?
What is he exactly coaching? And then he goes back and I listen to these press conferences and they'll tell you, well, we're going to do this better and we're going to do this better and we're going to coach this way and coach that way. What are you doing week to week? Do we still have these issues?
Maybe he's got a really good fantasy football team. I don't know, but I just...
It'd be funny if he spent his time on the fantasy team and they stunk too.
It's so funny, the amount of conversations. They also were undisciplined and didn't play hard for him.
A lot of illegal shifts on that fantasy team.
Kevin's completely ruined for me.
I know, and I feel that way too, which is just such a stark contrast to where we all used to sit with Stefanski.
So,
but the whole thing has left a sour taste in my mouth.
This is
what happens when you win one game out of your first seven.
Well, it's it comes back to, I wish it was all about Deshaun. And maybe that's what the next 10 games can prove.
Yes, but it's going to be a hard battle for us to try to tell every national pundit that this was more than just a Deshaun Watson problem. I know we don't care about that. That's fine. But it's going to be, think about what the narrative is right now. If Stefanski wants to spin it, the way he spins it is getting them to win games with Deshaun Watson out and doing it instantly. And if he starts getting that, that's why I said I think Jameis makes more sense, if I'm being honest about it, because Jameis gives you a better chance to win those games. Then you can really put this at the feet of Deshaun, even if we all know better.
But it's Kemp Cupcake.
I know.
Like, that's the problem, is how do you put that genie back in the bottle if guys, I mean, guys, when things are good, guys seem to want to play hard. And when things get tough, they seem to not want to. That's a reflection of the head coach. So as bad as the offense is, and maybe the fix for the offense is go back to the Stefanski offense now that he's not tethered to Deshaun, fine. But my biggest question is no longer the offensive coordinator. My biggest question, even coming off last year, was, okay, leadership. Can you motivate guys consistently? And this feels like 2022 all over again, where I don't think he has a finger on the pulse of this team. I don't think he knows how to motivate guys. And I just don't see how he does it. And that, to me, like, guys, I know that the players have to lead. At the end of the day, yeah, the coach has to be able to get guys pointing in the right direction. And that starts with, hey, these guys aren't doing their job no matter how much money they're making. We're going to go ahead and sit their ass on the bench. He's not going to do it. 216-474-0092. One segment to go. Are you guys out on Kevin Stefanski after the first seven games of this year? 92.3 The Fan.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.